Welcome to Controversy. Stephen B. doing the Key B on a Monday. We're going to have a good time today. I'm going to rock your world, tell you about my experience in the last 24 hours. We're doing the Key B. That's excellence for you and me. That's bold, black, and let's rock on a Monday.
I found an awful bag of key.
Welcome again. Once again, on Monday Controversy, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but the biggest thing we're going to talk about was my last 24 hours. First thing, I had one of these pop-up vacation ideas. I mean, my plan was to go and do something this weekend just to kind of, and then, you know, watch the Super Bowl, you know, and have dinner by myself. Remember, dinner by myself, Valentine's Day. But what I decided to do is throw all those plans away, come to Louisville, tell you about our experience. Me and my brother, you know, years ago, me and my older brother, every Father's Day used to go fishing.
Okay.
Never caught anything but drink tons of beer. So this is kind of like the same thing. Me and my brother went down to Louisville, hang out, had a nice stay at the Hyatt Regency.
Okay.
And watched a football game, got drunk. Obviously got
You got U.S. Navy drunk?
Oh, no, we didn't get that drunk.
Okay, okay.
But it was a good experience. They had some great barbecue, brisket. And everything kind of worked out. In fact, we got to the game right on time. We know when it started. And excuse me, got a slight cold. But I got to tell you about the experience. It was great while we were talking about some news. And also, we need to talk about the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Nominee Supreme Court. One has emerged as clearly the favorite of the president as well as some of Congress. So we need to talk about her and kind of examine what that means. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out. The word moderate means, what the hell is a moderate? A compromiser when necessary or what? So that's something we need to talk about. Also, we need to talk about what's going on with Russia. You know, it's very important we talk about because there's going to be some lives lost in reference to that. So, and we're going to talk about also the what's going on over in Britain. I'm not sure about what's going on. I read about that today. Something that has to do with... you know, you never know what the Brits are doing or kind of quite figured out, but we'll talk about it a little later. And for on the local set, the same thing's still happening. You know, we're still killing each other. We got to stop. Stop. Come on. Don't we realize that that is no badge of courage for us in our communities? So we gotta always talk about that and open up that dialogue that's going to take this violence away from what we're doing and what we're attempting to do is be a better you and me and our society. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Now, and the Super Bowl. We got to talk about the Super Bowl. So we're going to examine that. But Let me tell you about what we did last night for the last 24 hours. I left Indianapolis about 12 o'clock and got into Louisville about 3 because we stopped and ate. Me and my brother went, and like I said, we stayed in the Hyatt. And when we got there, it was interesting because we, you know, the whole plan had changed. There was no reason. I just called him that night before, said, "Hey, man, you want to ride down Louisville with me? We're going to do watch the Super Bowl." So he's like, "Really? Okay." So that's what we kind of did. And obviously we bonded and laughed and told more lies than the law allows us, what brothers do. But we enjoyed ourselves. And I'm going to get some information because, you know, right now I'm still suffering from the aftermath of the Super Bowl. But I got to tell you some things that happened. But anyway, the thing that was astonishing was that I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't read any books. I didn't read the newspaper the whole time I was there. Like I said, we had 2 or 3 hours before we sit there and talked about just past time, some of the things we did as kids. And then, you know, we decided, well, you know, let's go around and get something to eat. So we walked down the street. There was a barbecue place. And I gotta remember the name of this place for later on the show. I can tell you about it. But anyway, the food was excellent. And it wasn't that expensive. I mean, I got, you know, gigantic brisket, you know, probably can make 2 sandwiches maybe out of it. See what else they had? Oh, I had some baked beans. And my brother had like 2 hot sausages and some coleslaw, some baked beans, enough for 2 people. And it only came like $24, so it wasn't bad at all. And then, you know, at halftime, we decided we got to get something for halftime show. So we strolled right across the street to TGI Fridays. And my brother wanted some broccoli soup, so he, you know, sat there and watched halftime, most of the halftime show there because the hotel was like, you know, I don't know, maybe 50 yards away, a little longer than that, maybe 80 yards away, but it's really close. So we, you know, took the time to stroll back and forth. We had a great time. And one of the things in Louisville they had that just blew me away, I'd seen it before, but never taken the time to really stop and look at it, is that they had a big stage in the center that, help me, somebody call in and help me, on West Jefferson, you know, right behind. They had a big stage, they had a gigantic big screen TV out there, and as cold as it was, people were out there watching the Super Bowl. So, you know, we kind of did that, but it was a heck of a bonding experience, and I'm thankful that I had the opportunity. I'm back to work now, obviously, and I'm really, I don't know, I just kind of feel a little fresher. Got away from everything I normally did, got away from the city, so you know, it was a good time. So we'll talk some more about that. But back to my pet peeve right now, it's the violence in our city. You know, I the last couple of days had the opportunity to talk to some law enforcement officers from several places, Lawrence Township, as well as Indianapolis, obviously, Pike, Butler University. I mean, several officers, and you know, I would start and initiate the chat about the violent acts and some of the silliness that's going on in Indianapolis. I don't know where you got this from. I guess every generation has its thing. But this thing about driving down 38th Street, which is a busy street for those of you who are not from Indianapolis, and then getting in the middle of another busy street and doing these donuts, you know, with their cars. I don't get it. I mean, first of all, and it's usually doing a red light. First of all, it's a very dangerous thing to do. But even more importantly, what's the accomplishment of that? I don't know. Don't you think sometimes we do some things that make no sense? And if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. So I haven't figured that one out yet. Somebody needs a call. Let me know about that new phenomenon of young people doing donuts in the middle of the street, especially those of us of color. Just you know, a little concerned to that out. But back to my original thing, which is the violence in our city. Excuse me, my mouth is watering quite a bit. I think about it and I talk about it as most of us do. It seems like the central of our conversations as of late. But, you know, for some reason, we haven't come up with any solutions. We've come up with Band-Aid measures, true enough, but we really haven't came up with any solutions. Excuse me for a second. Got to have a little coffee. Find a donut. I know it's tacky, but you do that stuff on podcast and the media. Wait a minute. Mama said, don't talk with food in your mouth. I'm sure Mama's probably looking at me. Or you'd have popped me on top of my head. Okay. Back to violence. We keep throwing Band-Aid measures on a problem that obviously is not going to be solved with lightweight solutions. And, you know, the interesting thing is that we have gotten away from, I think, from the name-calling and saying because of your standards and what you've done and what you're doing is causing problems. We've gotten away from that, which is a good thing, because we got caught up in the blame game, and that wasn't solving anything. It certainly wasn't getting us any closer to our goal of at least dealing with the drug situation at a point of this that we can tolerate. Now, let's be realistic. Excuse me. just like taxes and death, you're not going to get rid of it. It's going to be always with us. The best we can hope to do is manage it to a level that we can actually control. For those saying we need to stamp drugs out permanently forever and ever, well, then, you know, we're going to have an awful lot of doctors probably in jail, but we can't do that. So we can control things or attempt to control things. But it all begins with all of us taking personal responsibility of those things that are going on in our neighborhood. You know, we act as though we're living in a monolithic stupidity age or something, that we are all joint to the hip and being stupid. And that's so far from the truth. It really, even though it seems like it sometimes, it's far from the truth. What we have become is complacent with the status quo. And, you know, the status quo now, especially when it comes to violence in the streets, are we expect 7 or 8 people, you know, to get killed every night. That's the status quo. We've got to change that. You know, once again, how you do it, I ain't sure. It's not a simple task in which we are challenging ourselves to do to deal with the violent situation in our culture, but we must do it, because if we don't, we're going to destroy ourselves. So let's get back to that. But well, let's make a couple announcements here early on in the show. There's been a change in our lineup. Moving forward, there's a cancellation in the Culture Talk Radio show. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but that's okay. Moving forward, we'll be taking that slot from Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. with your host, Dwayne Abernathy. Don't forget, talk to Tana. That's Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9. That's Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9. Your host, Tana B, holding up for you and me. And don't forget, on our radio lineup, it's yahzradio.com. It's moving forward again on Sunday from 7 to 9. Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., your host, Dwayne Abernathy. And the show you see, Controversy, is for you and me. That's me. You see the host, Stephen B., and we're talking about on Monday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's Controversy, the show where we talk about it all on No Holds a Bar. And if you're scared, say you're scared. So when you do call this show, as soon as I find the number to give to you, call the show and say you're scared and say what you got to say. Let's talk about it a little bit. Also, our TV lineup, oh, wait a minute. The call-in number, is 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. Call me, let's talk about it. See if we can come up with some workable solutions to some of the things that are affecting our community. Now, TV lineup, new episodes, Sunday, Culture Kings on the FIB TV channel. Check that out. Two brothers that are from a dynamically different backgrounds, but they come together and have a valuable conversation on how to solve some of the problems. They confront them pretty hard-hitting. So you need to check this show out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. That's the Culture Kings. That's on Sunday on the SIB TV channel here at your network, Yaza Radio and TV.com. That's on Sundays. And also on Wednesday, you got Pep and Snap on the One God TV channel. It's Pep and Snap. And on Saturday, the Yaza Radio Raw on the Yaza Radio Raw channel. So check us out and support us to support you. I mean, that's what it's all about. Putting out something that's only unique in the standpoint of we're doing it. What's not unique is dealing with the social media. And we should all use the social media as honestly as we can. But use it as a way. Remember, elect to the president. Hello. That's Barack, elected president. So it shows you how important it is, and it can be very influential if used correctly. So come and check us out on our podcast and some of the other ones and learn a little bit. I mean, you're only stretching your element of learning, and that's what we're all about and what most people that are on the Internet in this form and fashion, that's what they're all about as well. So let's see, where are we at it? Oh, and don't forget, see if I can find out. Hey, my nicotine stained fingers looking for my notes here. Oh, well. Let's see, I'll have to do this by rope, I guess. Don't forget our sponsors. One of them is the owner of this network, and that's DigitalGuard.com. Yes, right, DigitalGuard.com. No, DigitalGuard.com for your business and personal security needs. You know, it's become necessary in the society that we live in to be very vigilant about our safety and our business safety because crime has reached such an all-time level and all-time high. So contact DigitalGuard.com. It's www.preventcrime.com for your business and also, you know, for your personal use as well. So as soon as I get the correct thing to give it to you correctly, because I know it's somewhere in here, that we're going to do that. And also, let me tell you some upcoming events that we're working on right now. I'm working on an art show with the artist Alchemy. We talked about it in brief. We'll get more to it this week. But it's going to be a virtual art show that's going to be of great interest to you, so check that out. And also, we're in conversation to do a thing possibly called Pool Talk. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. You know, it's kind of hanging out with the brothers and sisters at pool halls and just watching them play and listen to the conversation. It's a funny shit, I'm telling you. It's hilarious. And also, excuse my language. Also, excuse me. I am working again on a version of Jazz in the Park. You know, right now I'm in the beginning stage. I know I'm starting off pretty late, but you know, as I stand thinking about it now and just getting back to the people who are involved, and I have just some things I need to answer for them. But I think we're going to probably do it in May, from May to September, two concerts a week, with the exception of May, one in May and one in September, and then two concerts on June, July, and August. So I'll tell you more about that as soon as we get more information. But, you know, for those of you who have experienced Jazz in the Park and Blues in the Hood before, you're not going to see a lot of difference, but you will see a lot of new entertainment. So I promise you some more blockbusting, blood-curling music in a jazz and blues set. And can't tell you exactly where we're going to do it. We're going to do it as close to Watkins Park as we can, and possibly Watkins Park if it's available. However, we're not confined necessarily to that, but we're working on it. We'll get back to you as soon as we can make those details available. So now, let's see, what else? So I talked about quite a few things. Don't forget to call us in. That number is 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. And when we come back, we're going to get in, thank you, we're going to get into depth about the Supreme Court and talk a little bit about that. And I want to offer my opinion. And then after that, we'll touch bases on what's going on in Ukraine. And then after that, we'll have to end with my all-time favorite sports, and that's about the Super Bowl. So we'll take a pause for the cause. We'll be right back on a Monday. Back to controversy on a Monday. Let's get to some important things. First of all, let's talk about Supreme Court nominee. Yesterday, I took the opportunity before I settled into my vacation and my nicotine-stained hands and my cognac. I had a wonderful time. We'll talk more about that. But anyway, it seems like that one of the candidates has emerged as a favorite right now with the president. Wait 1 second, let me get her name. Charles. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, Charles, yes, it is her name. And they say that she's they got bipartisan support, as a matter of fact, when she was elected to the Court of Appeals. They sent 53-44, so that's a good sign. And she's very young. I think she's 54. She is, yeah. She went to Harvard, or not an elite Harvard, but an elite law school. She's got many extreme credentials. She's a graduate from the University of South Carolina School of Law. So, and she's got the support of Clyburn. I guess that kind of changed the whole ball game. Representative or Senator Clyburn, the House minority was Jim Clyburn, came through and offered his support. And as did the Republican, Senator Graham and Tim Scott. So that looks a pretty good sign for her. Now, the question is, when they use the terminology moderate, that she's a moderate, you know, I'm not sure I quite understand that moderate anymore. I mean, to me, the whole thing of moderate seems like that you are more of a appeaser. And I'm not saying this about the lady. I'm just saying the way that moderate have acted as of late has been more of a pleasing or appeasing attitude, working towards a goal of compromise. And that's kind of difficult to do, because anytime you do that, then you're not you're not, it's hard getting a compromise. I mean, once you start going on the negative, it's hard to get on the positive. So, I mean, you follow me, Bernstein? Maybe I'm right, but this whole thing about moderate? I'm not sure. I mean, I got the, you know, the liberal thing down pat, and I got the conservative thing out. Moderate really is.
I don't understand it either.
It's a slippery slope. It really is.
Yeah, so what is a moderate, the person is in the middle of a, what you said, a liberal and a conservative, or what? I'm not sure.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like, and by no means am I expanding on my personal feeling, it represents like the abortion issue, okay? You have those who, you know, claim to be right to lifers, okay? They're right to life, but they support the death penalty. I haven't quite figured that one out yet either. That seems to be a conservative thing. You follow me?
I mean,
how can you support one and not the other? But that's how they think. And then you have the liberals who come forth with the attitude of the right to choose, which is okay, too. The only problem with the right to choose is nobody's taking into consideration that the life of the unborn has a right to choose, too, as well as the father. So I don't want to get too deep in that argument, but yeah, there's, you know, at least we know that type of stance from both the Democrats and the Republican Party. I should say the liberals and the conservatives. But the moderate thing, I mean,
I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to do some fact check on that. You got me stumped today. I'm going to have to look that up and get some more information on what the moderate
means. Yeah.
So I guess a conservative and a, what's the other one?
Liberal.
The liberal. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that again? Is that like I can't even get the word out.
Ideology
of their political stance? Is that pretty much what that is?
The ideologues, man, on both sides are very confusing to me. You know, once again, since we start with the abortion issue, then let me, you know, kind of expound on that. I mean, how can you say that you are right to life and you're a conservative, the death penalty, especially?
Well, I can understand. I can explain that because I must be conservative because I'm independent. See, that's something different, too.
Okay.
That's political party. But I got conservative ways and I have liberal ways.
Okay. So you're saying.
So my thing is like this. I'm 100% against abortion. That's why I have a TV show that's called Pro-Life, Pro-Choice. But I also believe in a death penalty because my whole thing is the reason why I believe in a death penalty because you had the chance to have life, and then when you was in life, you chose to do these diabolical things that lead you to possibly be put on death row. See, as a baby or embryo, you'll have no choice in life at all. They just automatically terminate you. But with the death penalty, it's a person who was born, who was raised, but they created some crime, but as long as they were convicted, as long as they were proven guilty, not somebody was innocent, and they had to pay for their injustice.
Does it make sense?
What I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
To me, it doesn't make sense, but that's just to me. I mean, and here's the reason why I'm saying that. First of all, let's go back to the whole concept of God and the whole concept of belief systems, okay, regardless of what religion, okay? And all that I've seen is says, thou shalt not kill, okay? That tends to be one of the things that runs pretty paramount through all religions. Now, if we're not following that commandment under any circumstances, it doesn't make sense. Now, I'm going to say this to you, and this is going to shock a lot of you out there. I'm sure it's going to piss a lot of people off, but I sincerely believe this. When I say I'm pro-life, period. I don't care, even in the situation of rape. My attitude that is a heinous crime. It's a crime against humanity. And something severe should be done to such a person who does that. But the issue, once again, is who are we penalizing? I mean, that abortion could be killing the next Martin Luther King or the next Malcolm X or the next Abu Barak.
Or the next Stephen B.
Right. So that's my fundamental problem with that. And that's not to say that I'm criticizing anybody for believing any differently because I'm by no stretch of imagination. I'm just saying this is how I believe. Either you're pro-life or you're not. Okay, and you know, I mean, it's just like, well, that's what I leave that part alone. That's what I'm into as far as that. As far as the liberals, I mean, the liberalism, you know, philosophy about everybody should have a right to choose. I sincerely believe that as well. However, if you do believe that, that people should have choice and everybody should have the right to choose, come on, shout it out. What's fair for one is fair for the other. So therefore, you're taking a level of choice away from the man, because no matter how you look at it, if you decide, let's say you decide not to get an abortion, the man may not be financially able nor want to take care of this child. Personal responsibility again. So for you to force him, then you've taken a choice out of him to do the right thing or the wrong thing. It doesn't make a difference. You follow me?
Say that again.
In other words, if you're a woman and you say, I want to have this child, and the guy doesn't want to have the child, then you've taken a choice out of him because you've determined you're going to have a child. Who's going to stop you? Nobody. Okay? And the same thing is true when the woman says, hey, I don't want to have this child. And the man says, wait a minute, you're taking my child away from me. Sorry, Charlie. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. But I think also that type of attitude.
I've experienced that personally.
Right. Yeah. I know I have. Okay. But now let's go back to the whole issue itself. And the issue itself is this. Is freedom of choice is all well and fine, as well as this whole attitude about a convoluted way of thinking about the right to life issue. It's fine. Okay. The problem is if you have extremism on either side, then you have nowhere to level the field, and that's where these moderate, I guess, think they come in, but it doesn't work that way.
I get it. So they call themselves being the in-between.
I guess. Yeah.
What's the word I'm trying to say? Not go-between. The caretaker. The who?
Go-between?
Yeah, the go-between.
But you know, but see, and that...
They the transgender of the decision. Sorry. That's Bernstein. Being Bernstein,
see?
Sorry.
See? But okay. I mean, you know, it's your attitude. I'm not going to say it's a bad attitude. As a matter of fact, it's a rather good attitude. I didn't say that. But it's a rather good attitude, okay? But anyway, so, and that's where I'm at as far as the issue. And back to the Supreme Court. It's going to be hard to figure out this moderatism thing. I mean, because let me tell you something. Clarence Thomas. A man who's been on the Supreme Court.
Who is Clarence Thomas?
Yes, yeah. Justice Clarence Thomas.
You see that little dark spot when they showed a picture of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Let me tell you something. Now, you know, they say that Justice Thomas is a conservative.
Okay.
The problem is, I don't know what Justice Thomas is because he hasn't written a decision the whole time he's been on the Supreme Court. And on top of that, he has never, not to my knowledge, even asked a question during Supreme Court hearings. And that's one of his criticisms. He sits there silently as if he's frightened to say anything. Now, that's not to say he's not, you know, critically thinking out his decision or his vote. But you've never written a decision the whole time you've been in the Supreme Court? Really? And you don't ask questions? Really?
And that's a lifetime position, too, right?
Yeah, man. That's forever and ever.
So you got the best job in the country.
Yeah, well, no, he ain't got the best job in the country, but he's right there. This guy, wait a minute. This guy here, about this job, I think about here. Man, this guy here is Speaker of the House for the Indiana Legislature. Follow me?
Okay.
And he had a job at $480,000 a year.
Really?
I ain't done yet.
Oh, okay.
With the college, the nonprofit college board, for lack of better words, who creates testing for high school students getting to college, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now he resigned at $480,000 job, and are you ready for this?
Why?
Now, I want somebody to call and explain to me because it makes no sense. Because his stance on transgender education is right there with the Republicans' attitude or the conservatism's attitude of not allowing teachers to teach. Oh, that whole episode, I guess, of transgender and homosexuality, whatever.
So his stance is he don't want that taught in school? Am I understanding you right?
Right. He doesn't want the teachers that the organization does not, they don't want to fight there. It's almost like they look at it as maybe like an abomination religion or some craziness like that. I left the thing at home, I think, about the whole issue. But let's see. Is it that? No, darn it, I left it home. But anyway, you got to check it out because, number one, and they're saying, well, you know, he felt there was a conflict, which is probably true. He felt that. But, and this is the time they're putting forth this legislation or debating it. And the interesting thing about it is they gave these great excuses of why this man would leave his job. Let me tell you something. Bullshit's bullshit. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. You're not going to leave a $480,000 a year job to be an Indiana legislator full-time and make $46,000. I don't buy that. Somebody did some arm twisting and some money bending for a person to come to that type of rationale. Am I wrong or right?
You're right, but you just sparked up a curiosity in my brain, and not to steer this in another direction. So I've seen in the public school system that they are adding to the curriculum the homosexual lifestyle and the gender lifestyle.
They're attempting to, yes.
Huh?
They're
actually adding it to the curriculum.
They're trying to stop it.
So my whole thing is, only problem that I have with that is they're teaching the children, because I'm going through this battle with my daughter right now. Me and my daughter literally had a conversation this weekend about gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
God makes boys and girls, male or female.
Okay.
I mean, that's where I stop at.
Well, you're like me. I mean, my whole thing is God created these mystical creatures, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know what I mean?
And that ain't even going to the point of who they sleep with sexually, but we talking about this now. They're pushing this agenda way too far. I think a homosexual cool. Sleep with who you sleep with, love who you love. Transgender things cool. Identify what you identify as, but this is what you're not going to do is play God. And now everything's gender neutral now?
Well, and that's where the problem comes in. I mean, you think about being raised as we were, heterosexual males. I mean, my mother and father, I mean, they eventually didn't have any choice but to come with the birds and the bees conversation because I got a girl pregnant when she was 16, okay? There was a process that we went through even up until before that conversation even came about in the household. The problem that I see now is that the media has pushed us down the throats of our children. And because we have no control, or we don't, well, we still really don't, but we did not have any control at the time with the childhood or the child life or whatever the craziness, then these children got exposed far too soon to this whole sexual thing than we wanted them to.
But the part that's the blurred line, it's not sexual. We talking about gender now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once again, the homosexual thing, that's sexual.
Mm-hmm.
That's their choice, born it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone a step beyond. Now they're blurring the lines of this whole gender thing with the gender neutral thing. Like, you're no longer a boy. You're no longer a girl. You're just exist. That's tampering with the creation of human, of us.
Well, I mean, you're correct in the fact that is tampering with someone's version of how we were created. And that in itself adds to the dilemma here, because no one, I don't think, and we all have our beliefs, no one can honestly answer the one very difficult question that man has asked for years and years and years, and that is, why am I here?
Okay.
Why am I here? Okay. Now, I sincerely believe I am here to fulfill a successful destiny by someone far greater than you and I. And that's my belief system tells me to go forward that theory. However, once again, being the critical thinker that I am, I have to ask the question, why am I here? Okay. And do you have an answer?
Yeah, I know why I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Geyser. I'm here. I was sent here on this earth to create the reparations for our culture and the media platform for our culture and people so we can no longer be silent. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here.
Okay. I can accept that. No, really. I mean, because, you know, once again, I mean, I can't say it's a subjective way of thinking because people's belief system are affected by being the product of their captivity, which a lot of people don't want to accept. They hate that word.
Captivity. It's devilish. It's a cult word.
You know, I mean, really, people get that attitude. But the truth of the matter is, we are a product of our captivity. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, determines the outcome of your destiny. So, but I just want to touch that about the Supreme Court, young lady. I mean, you know, as we all know, the president has decided, and I can't argue the fact of rightfully or not rightfully so that a black woman will be the next Supreme Court justice or associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And that does give us time to pause for two reasons. Number one, it's never happened before in our history. And number two, as always, women have, so people seem to think, taken a back seat to the values and the conquest of men. I don't see it that way. And I don't see it that way primarily because, you know, there's always been a saying, Bernstein, that there's only two free people in this world. You know that? White men and black women.
Really?
Yeah, you've never heard that term before?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That, you know, they're the only free people in this world or in a society. And we'll talk about that because it's not true. It really isn't. I think that we should begin to understand that we, as a people and a race of color, have so much superiority in our thought processes than a lot of people have even began to realize. And we have only touched the surface of the creativity within us. I mean, when you talk about since we're in black history, the Granville T. Woods, who created the light bulb and the iron and the ironing board, and we talk about, you know, other people besides, what's the peanut guy? They made the peanuts.
Washington.
George
Washington Carver.
Right. But and not taking anything away from him, but there's so many other people like Kathy Williams, who was a Civil War female who represented quite well in her ability of being a military person, and Sojourner Truth versus, I mean, there's so many people that we need to talk about. And especially when we come to black women, you cannot escape. Not even in your wildest dreams, without talking about Michelle Obama, okay? And we'll touch bases about the former first lady, who is still my first lady. That's how I look at it. But we'll talk about that, okay? Let's take a pause for the calls. We are back on controversy. Like I said, we got a Supreme Court thing. We got to talk about the Ukraine. Then we got to get to my beloved. I'm going into conniptions now because I'm going to do without football for a while. Although I'm going to be at the combine, Ernestine. I got to tell you that. I'm going to be at the combine this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But anyway, be back with you. Awesome.
brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we find our way to bring some love and tears here today.
Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Simply cause our hair is long.
Oh, you know we've got to find a way.
Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Hey, we're back here on a Monday with controversy. So now I got to get the last two subjects before we get to my favorite. So, you know, like that, which obviously is, if it goes through, is going to cause a lot of death and destruction. And that's, I'm talking about the situation in Ukraine. You know, I had said last week that the president of Russia, Putin, is a sable rattler, basically. But you know what? The more I think about now this situation, something does come to mind as this. It seems like that Russia and the United States has always used such conflicts to describe or disguise what really is going on. One of the things that's a problem that's going on is this. Let's go from Vietnam to Ukraine to Bosnia. Let's see, where else? Nicaragua. We can go on to all these countries that it seems like that the communists or the Russian influence, including Cuba, is on one end, and the United States disguised as NATO is on the other. Yes, disguised as NATO. I mean, come on, let's call what it is. We finance 90% of their budget, and it matters even worse than that. You know, as the United States goes, NATO goes. So that's what time it is. Now, it's just like, and I want to say this, so please don't get pissed off, but it's just like that every country has terrorists that are backed up by the government. And they have we have a name for ours. We call it the CIA. Just like they talk about the KGB, and what's the one in Britain? M7, M9, whatever it is.
MI6.
So, you know, all these organizations are legal, quote, I guess legal terrorism, but that's what they are. That's what they do. They disrupt society or a society or a culture in order to benefit for their country. Now, with that being said, this is no different. And they have to have a disguise, okay, of why they're doing this, okay? And it all, you know, usually falls on, well, national security, okay? Now, here you got big old Russia over here with 100,000 troops around a little Ukraine and national security of who? I mean, come on, let's be realistic. But it's always the big guys fighting in the small guys' country. It's almost like this is their battleground, their foxholes, and they choose some little country to do it in. So let's call it what it is, okay? And the other end is that you have a large proportion of people in government or in these countries who look at war as a necessary evil for population control. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact, okay? That's a truth. You got a lot of people who think that way. And at that same token, war tends to fund economies. So you look at this whole situation in that perspective, and there's no other way to look at it if you're honest. The truth of the matter is, once again, that time has come. The United States is in an inflationary period, so therefore they need money, okay, or they need controlled money, I should say. Russia is suffering because of they are lacking necessary supplies, like, oh, they got oil, but they can't process it, I don't think, as fast. And they're suffering as well. So, you know, this is the reason for war, okay? There is no other logical reason. And that's, so you have to understand that. So that's enough to say about the Ukrainian war. Now, it's time to welcome to the stage one of my sports colleague and Super Bowl critical element. He gonna criticize it, trust me. Ladies and gentlemen, Bernstein, it's sports time.
Oh, what up?
It's
time for the slave trade.
Yes. Go ahead. Slave trade. Hey, man, I tell you what, I'm so tired of hearing who that.
I mean, I know. And dude, if I was in New Orleans, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, how y'all going to take our slang? Because, you know, New Orleans, I think they say who that a little bit more soulful. But, yeah.
Yeah.
How Cincinnati going to take New Orleans slang?
I don't know. I mean,
that's like somebody taking Boom Baby from the Pacers.
Hey, now we're getting below the belt here. But let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Let's go.
First of all,
Slave Bowl 2022.
Yeah. But no, seriously, what did you think about this game?
I loved it, but at the same time, I saw when Hollywood kicked in. It was all theatric. I thought I was watching a Broadway play.
The football game or what?
The football game. I look at, since Mahomes sold out, I look at football now as watching a Broadway play or WWE.
See, the next thing you're going to do, man, is try to put the football players in tutus and call it a ballet, right?
Oh, that's coming next, I'm sure.
Oh,
they
man.
Tried a couple years ago, but we're not going to get into that.
anyway, I thought the game was played very
well. It was great.
I think the scenario of the game, period, about the Stafford story, was interesting. I think that, and I didn't know that about his wife and stuff. I thought that was pretty.
Oh, with the brain tumor.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And then you know, Burrow, who you know, arguably be wrong. Pat Mahomes, my boy. But you know what? There's something to be said about a young man from junior high, all the way through now, possibly winning the Super Bowl. No other quarterback has done that. You know, I mean, junior high, high school, that's a national champ.
Oh, Joe Burrow.
Yeah. So, you know, nobody.
He got time. There was only a second.
Sure. He's got time. And I learned something about him. That's a hard kid, man. I mean, they knocked his butt around a couple of times. And he got up
seven
big time.
Sacks.
Yeah. So he's going to be a great player. Now, with that sack ratio, he can't end up being another. What's the boy's name? Not Boy George.
He's going to be turning.
No, come here, George.
Jeff George.
George, you know, people, besides his mother's involvement, but let me say something. Jeff George was a good quarterback. But
he
you know
was.
What? If you keep getting knocked on your butt and sacked all the time, that kind of takes some of the stuff away from you. And I think it's what happened to Jeff George.
Can I tell you my personal Jeff George story? Because, you know, he went to Warren Central. I went to Warren Central. But he's older than me.
Sure.
Right? Well, you know, when they got rid of Jeff George, they sent him to the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
He fell out with the Falcons. They got him out. And when I moved to Atlanta I believe it was 96 or 97, when I first moved to Atlanta, they used to have billboards around the city of Atlanta with Jeff George on there in Atlanta Falcons uniform said, "Don't come around these parts ever again."
Oh, man. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. They used to have billboards in Atlanta. Anybody from Atlanta that was in Atlanta 96, 97, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
They had billboards of Jeff George in the city said, "Never come around these parts again."
That's cold, man.
That's so cold.
Boy.
So cold.
But back to the Super Bowl. You know, so many things were just really different. I mean, to have two coaches who are coached fourth seed teams.
Yeah.
To the Super Bowl.
And they're young.
Yeah, neither's over 40 years old, 38, 36. So I thought that was pretty remarkable. Because, you know, when I grew up, you know, head coach, he had to be at least 50 or 60.
50 years old, yeah.
So truly, the NFL is going through a transition of just not only young players, but also young managers and young coaches. Seeing this trend, do you think it's better for football? Do you think it's going to be worse for football? I mean, what do you say the youth movement in football?
I love it. I think this year's Super Bowl showed the passing of the torch.
Yeah.
The new young guns is taking over. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason why I was going for the Rams, not because I'm a Rams fan. I'm not on the bandwagon. Everybody like, "You on the bandwagon, Bernstein?" No, I'm not. I got pictures of me at 7 years old with an L.A. Rams shirt on.
At 7 years old, you didn't know anything about football.
Yes,
so
I did. I got it. And, the Redskins are my favorite team, too.
Did you, when you were a little boy, the very first hat you get when you were a little boy is a Cub hat.
It was the blue
That's
hat. Everybody. it wasn't Chicago Cubs, but it was that blue baseball cap with the blue baseball. Yes.
See,
I think everybody had that hat in the 70s or 60s, whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw the passing of the torch, and Joe, he's going to be back. That's why I wanted Stafford to win, because he'd been in 12 years. He did all that time in Detroit. He earned it. I think Joe's going to be back. They gotta get him a line, though. They gotta get him a line, because if not, he gonna be back watching.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting what you said about Stafford, because if anybody proved not only himself to himself, but proved all along what the true football fans knew about this guy, then they would have saw he was with a horrible team.
Yeah.
So therefore, he performed horribly. You took that guy away from that team and the statistics that he's been carrying for 12 years and put him with a decent team like this, and look what he did. He won the Super Bowl.
Because he was good at Georgia.
Yeah.
He was at Georgia. Yeah,
but he just didn't click with the Detroit.
And that shows you the importance of a team.
That's
like,
right.
With it's actually a team. If you could take a player that's 1 year removed from a team he's been up for 12 years and he wins the Super Bowl.
Not even the whole year. Yeah.
What I'm saying? It's like he said last night in the post game interview, he said 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they was able to develop and be where they're at. I'm with it.
So all in all, the Super Bowl was great. Now in the halftime show.
Let's get into the halftime show.
Let me say something. When the announcement was made and the words came out of Snoop Dogg's mouth that you would never, ever see a show like this before. No, you never saw a show like this before. You never will see one since. Let me say this. There are shows that are good. And there are shows that are good because of the people that are part of the show. And we ought to make in our brains said the show was good because, you know, Janet Jackson or somebody was in it. Let me say this. That show was spectacular.
Yes,
it was unbelievably coordinated. The dance scenes, the way the interaction with the artists. I mean, that was one hell of a show, and I don't think you're going to see one like that.
The best halftime show ever.
Oh, my
From my generation, hip-hop and rap, we have a
rock. Wow.
I was like, it was the best Super Bowl halftime show ever seen.
And I'll tell you what was interesting about the mixture of artists. The mixture of artists was you had old school rap to the young rap.
Yep.
It covered a span of about 10 years, if you really think about it. Maybe 15.
20.
20?
Yeah.
But big fan. All the way down the whole city that y'all nailed.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you, since I come from a generation, let me tell you what was so great about the halftime show. Dr. Dre was highlighting all his kids he birthed.
Yep.
Snoop was his first, then Eminem, then 50 Cent, then Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
These are his. He got four generations of his hip hop babies.
Yeah.
And he put his babies on the stage last night.
Turned it out.
And turned it out.
And then put a sprinkle
with Mary J. Fonz.
Mary J.
With them big old thick thighs. I'm sorry, ladies. Holy. Look, don't try to cancel us over here, but oh my God, Mary J. and them big old thighs. Oh my Lord. Have mercy on my soul.
See, y'all have freaking out every now and then. That's Bernstein. There. But no, seriously, the show is just fantastic.
Oh, she sounded good too. My bad. Sorry.
You know what?
She also sounded good.
Oh, yeah. But no, it was an experience. My hat goes off to who produced it and put it together because it was fantastic.
But I'm gonna tell you something though, Stephen. People always got something to say. I literally saw some critics of the halftime show last night talking about, oh, they should have did this or they should have did that. I'm like, you know what? There's always somebody out there got something to say.
But you know what's so funny about it?
Yeah.
If you looked at the artists, ladies and gentlemen, who were on that stage last night, they could not have even began to touch the surface of the music that they have out there.
Right.
And there's no way they could have pleased everybody.
You can't please everybody, but some people's like, oh, they should have had a hologram of Tupac for the... No, they shouldn't have. No. Oh, I had a problem with they had black men dancing on the stage on the field looking like they had on prison uniforms.
I saw that too.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Well, let me tell you something. That bothered me, too, at first. Okay? At first, I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell is this? Until I kind of put things together because basically what they were doing was showing the aspects of life as we live it today within the sphere in which we live it in. Does it make sense? I mean,
no.
Well,
what's happening?
That's what you got on stage. That is exactly what you saw on stage.
What's going on?
Yeah, because everything, they had a mixture of everything. And prison life, unfortunately, is a part.
It's part of culture. So it is part of hip-hop culture.
And the nice cars and the dress. I mean, it was...
I love how they had it built up like a house. Though. It was just everything.
That was
like, the set alone. I mean, it was just best
I didn't see
ever.
Did you see when they brought the set out? How did they bring it out?
I saw when they brought the set out because they was talking.
They
was
little trucks or
whatever? Yeah. It was... The sound was everything. Everything was great.
Even the knock out of the wall all the way.
Yeah.
It was perfectly done.
But the surprise was 50 Cent. Nobody knew 50 Cent was going to be there, though.
No, he wasn't in the original lineup, was
he? No. But that was the surprise. But like I said, Dre showed all his babies. Started with Snoop, went to Eminem, went to 50 Cent, and went to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I give it to him.
He didn't bring
25 cents, but he was fat as hell. He was definitely $1.25. 50 that got fat. he got King's disease now.
Now where do we move on now from the Super Bowl? Super Bowl's over with.
Yes.
We crowned new champ.
Yes.
We both have to agree that neither of those quarterbacks have nothing to be ashamed about. They played an excellent game. They really did. There was no bad play in the game. I just thought. Now, there was some questionable grabs now.
In calls,
yeah. But other than that, the Super Bowl went off. I think the ratings will be quite high. So now the Super Bowl's over with. Where do we go from here, Bernstein? We've got, obviously, some teams that need some coaches. We still have the controversy with the hiring
practice. That's over with. Your boy's lawsuit is done.
Right.
because they hired two black coaches. They hired Lovie Smith down in Texas. Then they hired, I forget the other team, but yeah, they said, he must said, like, yeah, this is no longer news. Like I said last week.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to still pursue it.
Yeah, but it won't be in the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's some quarterback moves. First of all,
your boy going to Tampa. Russell Wilson's going to Tampa.
Where'd you hear that from?
The gods.
Oh,
the football gods.
No, seriously, where'd you hear that from? Is that a new
I
rumor?
I just told you. That's a new rumor.
Well, me personally, I really still think that Russell Wilson's either going to end up in Chicago or Indianapolis. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What?
Yeah, I do. I do. Because I'm thinking, there's so much stuff that's happening right now in the NFL.
We got a better chance of getting Aaron Rodgers than him.
No. If Aaron Rodgers is going to leave the Chiefs, Green Bay, he's definitely going to Philadelphia if he's going
to
leave.
And going to the Steelers, you mean, Pittsburgh, not Philadelphia.
What did I say?
You said Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, the Steelers, yeah.
Jalen Hurst ain't going nowhere in Philadelphia.
I believe that. And I also believe, if not, then he'll end up in Buffalo, not Buffalo, but Chicago, possibly Chicago.
They said last night that Green Bay had decided that they're going to pull out all the big guns to keep him in Green Bay. It said it on the scroll last night during the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Did you see any Super Bowl commercials that you like?
I didn't see any Super Bowl commercials I paid attention to, and that shows you. Put it this way, I usually look for Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
But this time I didn't pay attention. I was sitting there drinking my brother's stuff, which telling me they couldn't have been that great.
Yeah, they was. All right, $6 million a commercial, though.
Yeah,
it cost $6 million.
Is the black chick still running that? There was a black chick that was running that whole thing with the advertising stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But the commercial that I liked the most was the BMW commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Salma Hayek, beautiful, sexy self. He was playing Zeus.
What about the one with the guy that played in, the Mini-Me dude.
Yeah, it was a good one too, yeah.
Really?
He said, I'm going to call this baby me, yeah. That was a good one too. That was a good one. I saw about three or four that was a good
one. But let me ask you.
Rigo said the best, I think.
Now, let me ask you a question, okay, because I did watch that commercial a little bit. Am I wrong in assuming that they took clips from the James Bond movie and put him in there and had all the rest of it around him? Because I looked at the uniform and I looked at him and then some of the things he said, I said, wait a minute, and the chair being different, that look reminds me of the James Bond.
Well,
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did they take, now, my question is, do you think they took the clips from Austin Powers and then built this commercial around that, or do you think he was actually there? You follow what I'm saying? Did they actually film it with him being there? Or did they take clips from Austin Powers?
I think they filmed him being there.
Really?
Yeah.
It hasn't changed in all those years, huh?
Mm-mm. Nah. It hasn't.
I guess you're right. Beyonce didn't change in all those years.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Yeah. We don't even get on Beyonce, but The game was good. Did you see the fool, though, on Cincinnati when they scored a touchdown? That clown that had no uniform on ran out. You know how they do the touchdown celebration?
Right.
One of the players from Cincinnati he wasn't even on the, he was on the team, but he hadn't even had a uniform. He ran out on the field and started participating in the touchdown celebration.
Oh.
And they got a 15-yard penalty. Yeah. Like, sit your ass down somewhere.
You know what I thought you were going to say?
What?
You know, back in the old days, they used to streak across the
place. Streak across the, they ain't doing no streaking now. Yeah, but they run across the field, though.
Hey, man, we had one at our graduation, our high school graduation. I cracked up, man. You really got that race right up here with doing the donuts in the middle of the street to me.
Right.
So, but anyway, so what other personnel changes do you see? What do you think is going to happen with Lamar Jackson? Think he's still going to be in Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay. What about Dak Prescott?
No.
Oh, you think he's leaving Dallas?
I think Dallas is putting him on the market. The person I'm worried about, I want to know what they're going to do with the young man down in Houston.
Who?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh,
they holding captives.
I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I think.
They are ruining that young man's career.
Well, and it's done purposely.
Yeah.
I mean, no prosecutor that I've heard comment on this. Our law enforcement personnel believes in this should happen, okay?
Is he the Bill Cosby of football?
No, because they don't believe it happened, period.
They don't believe it happened, okay.
Right. Now, in this case, though, it seems like it's become a political thing, okay, between the team as well as the NFL. In other words, I guess that the trade that he was hoping for was going to be in that neck of the woods or that side of the league or that part of the country, whatever. Well, the owner, not willing to trade a commodity to somebody else he knows he's going to have to face, decided to just said, okay, well, we'll do it until this thing is over with. We'll put it on suspension. And see, that's the way of keeping him past the contract deadline, so they have to negotiate with him for a less amount of money. So that's the rumor I heard.
Is that not proven fact of ownership? Like, we own you, boy.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder, does he still get paid, though, while he's sitting on the sideline? Does he get a check?
Well,
I wonder how that works. Now, that's crazy if they're not paying him. Now, that's evil. I mean, that should be some type of labor law.
I'm going to say probably yes.
Because he's not breaching contract. He's just like, I want to leave here because this team is trash.
Well, not only is he not breaching contract, but because of the situation, the team's obligated to pay him because they're holding him up for going forward. And
yeah.
He's not being officially charged with anything. So, we'll see. Well, he's been charged. Has he been charged?
No, he has not been charged. Everything's been dropped.
Well, on hold.
Yeah, on hold.
They didn't drop it, did they?
I thought they dropped it.
No, I think he's still on hold.
Let's see.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that they're waiting for a court date. Yeah, Deshaun Watkins, who we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
That will be Watson and not Watkins.
Watkins, you know. No, but it's one of those situations where young man is caught in the middle of really a very dangerous, slippery soap type situation in the NFL. So we're going to look it up, and then we're going to touch base with that. Or maybe we'll look it up. You know what? We haven't talked about buckwheat. I'm being bad, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to say anything about buckwheat. I mean, he was great at what he did at the time.
He don't have no criminal charges. It was all a lawsuit. It's all financially driven. So he has no criminal charges pending.
Really? That makes less sense why they're holding him up. Oh, they're playing the ethics game as if there's ethics in sports. It's like saying there's a day without sunshine, you know.
Yeah, that's the one I'm worried about. I want to know what they're going to do with that young man, honestly. And the other part about it is I'm surprised that the Players Association or whatever, Players Union, I wonder if they even support him. Or is he just out on the island alone?
Well, and that, once again, that in itself is the problem because you don't know. We got to really look into that because I don't know. If there was charges pending, then I could see why they would hold him or have a justified reason. But they don't have a justified reason with no charges.
Yeah.
And that's kind of ridiculous. So, okay. Let's see. You talked about John Watson. Talk about the quarterbacks. Oh, did you know one of the things that's interesting about Tom Brady resigning?
He retired.
Retired or whatever.
Yeah.
What happened to Watson? Did he retire too?
Gronkowski?
Yeah, he
hasn't said yet.
Yeah, he came out and came back. I just wanted.
Yeah, Gronk has not noticed a retire. Said if he's retiring yet.
What do you think? He's gone.
Yeah, I think so. He's out of there.
Yeah,
he wants to be an actor and a stunt man anyway.
Does he?
Yeah, he wants. Yeah, he out of there.
Well, he has nothing to prove. I think he's got a great career.
Yeah, I wouldn't come back if I was Gronk. I'd be.
Yeah, he's got a great career. I mean, and when you talk about Tom Brady, you cannot talk about Tom without talking about Gronkowski because he's a magnificent player. And they've been together. How long did they play together in New England?
Let's see.
See, you have these answers, man. What's up with that?
Well, that question wasn't on the table.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Super Bowl, not the old bowl. Retirement bowl.
See, now, guess what? He will not be my partner on Jeopardy. Our Family Feud or nothing like that. He's one of those kind of people who said, Bernstein, give me a word that represents cushion. he'll come up with something like Beard of Nails. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those kind of guys. So have you got to yet, man?
Not yet.
Okay, let me play your music. Do, do,
do, do, do. How long did they play together?
Do, do, do.
Let's see here. See if it comes up. 9 seasons.
Okay, nine seasons. Wow. That's
nine seasons together.
Hall of Famer?
Gronk?
Yeah.
For sure. Just by association alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He definitely Hall of Famer just because of association and time.
Hey, speaking of wait a minute. Do you not...
Huh?
Do you not think that Reggie Wayne is getting crapped on? Don't you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? Now, this is the second attempt, isn't it?
Which one was the one who got called in the shootout in Philadelphia? Is that Reggie Wayne or Harrison?
That's Harrison.
Yeah, Harrison's in, right?
Neither one
Harrison, I thought Harrison got put in like 2 years ago.
I don't think so.
But I think Reggie Wayne, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't understand that.
Oh, the Peyton Manning commercial was okay.
What was that about?
It was a Bud Light commercial. It was him, and he was looking at Serena Williams' body like, ooh.
Oh, I saw when she walked out.
Yeah.
It was
okay. But I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, I believe. Yeah, he earned his stripes.
Oh, wait. Talking about Serena.
What about her? She
thicker, I saw that walk.
She's thicker than cold grits.
I saw that walk at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, man, you won't believe what some girl said to me, sitting next to me. Man. Because like I said, we saw that. We were ordering food times. She goes, I guess money will make you look good. No, I guess money will make you look good, too. I'm like, get out of here.
Serena was strapped when she was playing in the streets of Compton. What's she talking about?
Man,
haters, man.
But here's a hater. If you had the money, you'd fix your face, too. Shut up.
That's true, too. You know you're going to get snatched if you got the money,
man,
too. Don't do
on,
that.
Come on. That don't make no sense. So, hey, so check this out. So we talked about that, talked about that. Now, what is your prediction that the two teams that played in the Super Bowl, what is your prediction of how they will end up next year?
0% chance. Buffalo Bills will be in the Super Bowl next year.
Winning record?
Buffalo Bills will be in the Super Bowl next year.
No. I'm talking about as far as a winning record. Do you think they're going to have a good season next year?
Oh, those two teams? Yeah, they have a good season. Yeah, for sure.
Do you think they'll ever make it to the Super Bowl again?
You talking about ever in life?
No, with these quarterbacks, these two quarterbacks.
I don't think Stafford will make it back to a Super Bowl. I think Joe will have his day again. I believe. As long as they get him a line. They get him a line, he got his day again.
Okay, all right. Now we're going to ask you a series of quarterbacks. Okay. Mahomes, to Super Bowl again?
Yes, towards the end of his career. He'll be back. He'll be like Peyton. Okay. He might not necessarily be with the Kansas City Chiefs, but Mahomes will be back at another Super Bowl, yes.
Wilson.
Russell Wilson, no.
Prescott.
I'm going to say no.
Jackson.
That's a tough one. I think Jackson will be back in the will make it to the Super Bowl, but it's going to have to be on the merit of Baltimore's defense. They're going to have to get a defense like what they had of Killer. What's Killer name? Killer.
Oh, cause
Ray Lewis. I think Baltimore will get to the Super Bowl on the merit of their defense getting them there.
Got you. Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger's retired.
That's so good.
He out there. But I ain't going to say what he used to do back in the day.
But
that's
a pretty good assessment. Very good assessment, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think
I don't think Aaron Rodgers will make it back. He needs to go ahead and retire.
Right.
He's the last of their crop. He's the last one. All the rest of them gone. Breeze is gone.
Yeah.
Peyton's gone.
Yeah.
Rivers is gone.
Yeah, you're right. He's about the last.
Brady's gone.
He's the last Mohican.
Rosenberger's gone. He's the last of their little class.
Now, do you see, last but not least, Well, two things. Do you see this new NFL change coming about the overtime situation? About them?
They need to change that for sure.
Okay, and what about the team ownership? Do you see any large shifts in team ownership in the NFL this year?
Well, they said Byron Allen's trying to buy the Denver Broncos.
What Byron Allen? The comedian, the black Broncos? Get out of here. He got that kind of money.
Yes, he do.
Get out of here.
He owns the Weather Channel. So he owns, he got CBS as a back. Let's put it like that. Oh. He might not have the money, but he has access to the money.
Now you think about it, he's got quite a bit of money.
Let's find out. Let's see how much he's worth.
I already know. How much is he worth?
$450 million. Because he's, he's dealing with a comedian.
Yeah, he got
but he got access to the money, though. Let's see, Byron Allen. He has the back of the, he's worth, like I said, he's worth $450 million.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, he don't have enough to buy them outright, but he has access to the.
Find out how much Peyton Manning's worth. I'm just curious.
Peyton. I'm going to say about $100 million, $130 million.
See? Really?
Yeah. Peyton Manning, let's see. Peyton Manning's net worth. $250 million.
Really?
Yeah. That's $100 million more than I would say. Yeah.
Wow. And he's that far down.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm going to tell you what's so interesting, though, is the fact of how these players get so much money and the majority of them end up broke within 10 years out of the league. And then another thing, I know I'm all over the board,
okay.
Was one disappointment that I do have to say about the Super Bowl last night.
What is that?
There was not a Icky Woods sighting. Oh, and... No one, Icky Woods. Remember Icky Woods and the Icky Shuffle? Wasn't there. And somebody, when they scored a touchdown, they should have did the Icky Shuffle. Man, they should have paid homage to Icky Woods. I think.
Yeah.
Geico did though. They showed his old commercial from 8 years ago. I think that Cincinnati should have paid homage to Icky Woods.
Yeah.
And he's from L.A. He's from South Central.
Yeah.
And they was playing in L.A. I would have done the Icky Shuffle as soon as I scored a touchdown.
That's why they should stop making drugs for people like you, okay?
Well, yeah, okay. Icky, come on. But Icky, you got me there.
Icky was entertaining, without a shadow of a doubt. Very entertaining. I have to remember, you still remember the Icky Shovel?
Yeah.
It's like, the Super Bowl Shovel, the things I get you remember. Okay, so that's enough about football, I guess. Now let's talk about my least lately favorite subject, so we can cover sports and get out of sports and get into my best subject, the NBA.
What is going on, man?
It's
trash.
We're not, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird literally saved the NBA from where they almost sunk. They literally came and saved the NBA. Unfortunately,
Jerry Buss. Not, saved the NBA.
No, really, that really stimulated the NBA, and everybody tell you that. They did a marvelous job. But here's the strange part now. We're back in the same situation again when they came. But there are no Magic Johnsons out there and no Larry Birds out there to add that controversy and that fire to the NBA. And now it seems like that whether you like LeBron's or not, you can't have a conversation about the NBA without mentioning LeBron's. And I'm going to tell you something else. Somebody said, well, it was the same way with Michael Jordan playing. No, was it? No, it was not.
No, heck no. When Michael Jordan was in the NBA, had money.
Yes.
Back in the day when Jordan and all them, but Magic and all them,
yeah,
the NBA was struggling.
But
did you see the previews for the movie?
No.
I mean, did you see they made a TV series on HBO about the Lakers?
Is it a series or just a one-time movie? I
think
about
it's a series. It's going to be a series on HBO.
That's going to be like that stupid Soul Train stupid
show. I love the Soul Train show.
The
I was
series?
Like, yes, I love
that.
That
was a recent series?
The one that was on BET?
Man, that was a joke.
I love that. I was waiting for season two to come back.
You know what? You know what? Let me tell you something. There's There's a bridge that's in Manhattan that connects Manhattan to the mainland of New York proper, Bernstein. I would like to offer to sell that to you for I mean, a gut level cost. I'm gonna sell you the whole bridge.
There's a bridge where?
It's in Manhattan, and
yeah.
It connects Manhattan to the mainland of New York. I want to sell it to you. In fact, I'm gonna sell it to you for $1,000.
Which bridge would that be? The Brooklyn Bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, just the whole the George Washington Bridge.
Whatever bridge you want. Because if you're going to believe...
Some bridge in the desert of Nevada.
If you're going to believe that series, that Soul Train series, even think close to being real, I can sell you this bridge.
You said close to being real?
Hell yeah. Man, that crap didn't go on. Some of it did. I'm not going to argue. But when I say poetic license...
What does that mean?
Poetic license, they damn paint the whole building a different color.
What are you talking about? I'm confused.
I'm talking about the series.
Yes.
Okay, that Soul Train series is on TV about Don Cornelius?
Yeah.
You believe all that happened?
Yes. Why? What parts of that you don't think happened?
Oh, God, how naive you are. It didn't happen.
Why didn't it happen?
A lot of it did, but some of that gang stuff did not happen that way. Not even
man,
close.
They said Don Cornelius was a bona fide gangster, but they also said he was gay.
Like I said, people like to listen. This is not a good rich scheme. All you got to do is find a bunch of people like Bernstein to believe in the stories, and I guarantee you, you'll become rich, especially if they pay for it.
So you saying that Don King didn't do what he did? I mean, not Don King. Don Cornelius didn't. I'm confused.
Don Cornelius. Let me tell you something. Don Cornelius did some of the things in that series. That is true.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of the more violent stuff didn't happen.
But...
That didn't happen.
But they
didn't happen.
Your boy was the dude that did the violent. No, you don't think so.
I know, so it didn't happen.
There's no way you can survive Chicago back
then
without some type of violence.
We're talking about a black man. Hello. A black man anywhere. I don't care if it's Chicago. I don't care if it's Los Angeles. That did what supposedly they say in that series Don King did. He wouldn't be around today. Come on, man. They're gangsters in there. Gangster took his butt out. Okay, call it what it is. It is what it. Listen.
Well, if that's the case,
We're talking about a city that not only produced what was the mayor, the long term mayor there in Chicago. You know, the gangster. Daley. Okay.
I thought Daley was the mayor of Detroit.
Chicago.
Yeah, that's right, Daley.
Now, we're talking about that culture.
Well, they said
I ain't done.
Last week.
Ain't done. We're talking about that culture. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're also talking about the same culture that many years ago, this is no disrespect intended, but who produced Barack Obama, who took Bin Laden out like he was a terrorist. Typical Chicago, okay? So if you think that Don Cornelius got away with half that stuff that he claimed that happened, I'm going back to what I said. I'm going to give you a Rolls Royce. I ain't going to sell it to you.
Well, they, just like on the last episode of the Hugh Hefner Playboy story, it was about Don Cornelius, and they said that he took four playmates and had them hostage in the house for 4 days and was torturing them and beating them.
I didn't say
them
he wasn't a freak. I didn't say that.
But you said he wasn't no gangster.
No. Not even close.
I think he was. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to look it up. I believe you, but at the same time.
That's why we can't get ahead.
Why?
We got young brothers out here like Bernstein who just don't get a clue. By God, I really think that we should send them to a torture clinic. We should set you down in a room and allow you to listen to Donald Trump 24/7 for 7 days.
I listen to Trump. I'm a Trump fan.
24/7 in a room all by your little self. I don't care if you're a Trump fan or not.
I've been doing that for years already. What do you mean? That's not torture. That's a vacation.
Oh, boy.
I like anybody who's disruptive.
Yeah, I see.
I can find they about to get mad. Thank God we own our airways. I can see some positives in Hitler. I ain't talking about the killing part, killing the Jews part. I'm talking about the fact that this one dude been to prison. A lot of people don't know that part about Hitler. He was sent to prison, and he got out of prison and was about revenge.
Oh, he wrote Mount Kong while he's in prison.
Huh?
He wrote Mount Kong while he's in prison.
He wrote what?
Mount Kong, the book.
Really?
Yeah. He was in prison.
So I ain't talking about the whole genocide side of Hitler, but he was a leader.
See, here's... Okay. People like Hitler, Charles Manson is another one. Jeffrey Dahmer, Manuel Noriega, we go on and on and on.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
What kind of leader was Jeffrey Dahmer? Go ahead. All right.
But see, here's what is prominent against these diabolical people who do what they do is they all had a high IQ. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to a degree, they were very, very creative, even in how they did what they did, even though we don't want to admit that. Hitler, and it's just like Jim Jones.
Like Jim Jones, too. Out of Indianapolis, yeah. Not the rapper Jim Jones, the cult leader Jim Jones, right. You guys.
These guys are, you have to call them intelligent because they're able to manipulate so many minds at one time. Without saying, I mean, that's what he did, okay? With that being said, though, we should begin to be more mindful of looking for certain characteristics of people who are like that. The whole Hitler episode, as well as some of these others, we go back and retrospect and think, oh, my God, I should have saw this coming or I should have saw this happening, especially in Hitler's case, because we got to the point where, he got us to appease him in so many ways would have led to him being able to do some of the things he did. So, I mean, I can't say they're not intelligent, but without a shadow of a doubt, the characteristics of most people who have diabolical minds are very intelligent people.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's so crazy. Hugh Hefner looked at Charles Manson as a mentor.
That one doesn't surprise me.
Because of his leadership skills.
But look at what Charles Manson looked at Brian Wilson as a leader or a musical guru from the Beach Boys. So, I mean, these guys are weird, but never think that they're not intelligent or have a superior intelligence, a high IQ, because they do.
Yeah,
we do. Now, go ahead. To my favorite subject, catfishing. You know, it's a shame that catfishing is not like one of those fish shows on TV where they go out and fish for the sailfish and the tuna and stuff, because you'd be rich because they're out here.
There was a news story that I saw on CNN about catfishing. See if I can find it.
While he's looking it up, you know, let me tell you guys again the signs of a catfisher. Sign number one, they're usually very, very pretty in their pictures on Facebook. And, you know, invariably they're all, you know, lonely. Invariably the story, and this is no kidding, is the reason they can't contact you with their cell phone is invariably either dropped or got broken or something like that, so they can only communicate with you through the internet. And I'm here to tell you that some of that communication is by phone. Okay, so you worry that. The other thing is this. They tend to... Okay.
Found it.
Go ahead.
It's a Seth. You know, in Indiana, today's the 5th year anniversary. The little girls up in Delphi, Indiana got killed.
Right.
Catfishing sex offender who police say was the last person to speak with the Delphi murder victims and lived 37 miles from where the bodies were found in 2017, says he's 100% didn't kill them.
Really?
Right here on the news.
Well, okay. I mean, it looks like to me, but what do I know? But back to this catfishing thing, man. Here's the other issue that they invariably will tell you, that they are from some country or some state, but they're in Ghana caring for their sick grandmother, or they're in Ghana or another country to take care of their sick sister. And they all want you to send them money, and they want you to send them money on a gift card. Guys, the reason is it's untraceable. So don't do it. The government is saying don't do it. Everybody's telling you don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? Now, here's some telltale signs and how you can trip them up if you have a faint heart. First of all, ask them to send you a picture. You know, not some new, but very, say, well, why don't you send me a picture of you right now with a blue ribbon in your hair? Or how about this one? This is the best one. I want you to send me a picture of you now with a signature saying, hey, this is me. They're not going to do it. That's how you weed them out, because they can't. They're using someone else's picture, and they don't have the ability to take pictures, so they say right then and there. When it comes to the military, and these women out here in the military doing the same stuff, you know who I'm talking about. Hopefully you're listening. Same stuff. Well, that you can't send them money because they're deployed. Okay, give me your APO address. But they can't give you an APO address because they don't have one. Okay? Because you can always communicate with somebody through the military unless they are in the field by their APO address. And last but not least, don't let them tell you that the only way, because of giving out their location, for you to send them money is on a gift card. That is a lie. A definite catfish lie. There's always ways to get money and resources to a military person overseas being deployed. Don't buy that lie. They're catfishing. Now, I'm telling you, we're talking about a $500 billion business. Really? I'm just letting you know. And like I said, I got to ask just to make sure, am I ready to, are they going to allow me to start releasing these names? Because right now I'm waiting for the clarification of.
Yeah, we haven't got confirmation yet.
Yeah, but I think we're on good footing. I really do. This is going to happen. Okay, because the name of the game is, if it happened and it is so, it is not slander. Okay? And especially if you have it in text message form. Okay? Because I guess we have the technology to be able to display that too, do we not?
Yeah, I would say if there's an email confirmation, there's nothing wrong with reading the emails out loud. Like, this person's from this person, such and such. Like,
yeah, we can do that.
We can do that.
So stay tuned, because we're going to start revealing names, and then maybe these people out here will get a point. Okay, and those who have been in contact with me know who you're dealing with and the kind of dude I am in reference to this. I'm telling you, I've advised several people and shows on this catfishing issue. I'm sort of like, the Perry Mason of catfishers, okay? I'm telling you, remember, I'm not crapping with you. I'm being honest. Truth of the matter is, I deal with such with 10% of my brain, because the other 90% of my brain is in my billfold, and you can't handle it, okay? So you catfishers out there, stay tuned, because we're going to rock and roll. You want to dance? I'm going to show you how to dance. You want to play? I'm going to show you how to play. But what I am going to do is start putting your picture and your name on the air so people know to look off of you. That's the least we can do. What do you think? And the same thing for you guys. We're going to put you out there, too. You know, you ain't got to wait for the catfish show on TV. I'm a little more relentless than that. And those who have been caught by me know that now I'm good at what I do, but I research what I do so well that I will catch you. In fact, if you contacted me and you're playing, you've already been caught. It's just a matter of me making sure I can legally put this stuff on there, which I think I can. So we're going to do that. So right before we leave in, 12 minutes? Okay. Let's get some announcements done so we can rock and roll and go forward. Oh, and by the way, once again, I want you to stay tuned. By Wednesday, I will start releasing information on a couple of things. The new version of Jazz in the Park starting Wednesday. Also, a couple of outdoor concerts that I plan on doing, promoting with my production company as well as Yazzer. And also the exhibits that we're going to be giving. We're going to do some different things here, and Pool Talk is going to be fun. You got to check that out. We're working on several new shows, so just kind of stay tuned and spread the word, because you're going to find some pretty unique things happening on our network here at YazzerTV.com and radio. And let's see. Don't ever forget, you're welcome to call in. You know what? We may have to change our times, too, and because, number one, I got to think a lot of people are working. They can't call in. So we may have to change the time, have a special show where they can actually call in the evenings or something. You know what I'm saying? Bernstein, did you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He didn't hear me. I said, you know, we might consider changing some of the times because I'm thinking that we get more call-ins if we're doing it either after drive time or before drive time. Maybe we'll have to do a special show for that. Just talk.
Yeah, we'll see because right now I think it's just more of getting the word out, spreading the word out. But we look into it because, you know, we got some spots we got to fill.
All my 7,000 know who I am. It's out there. But anyway, don't forget, this is jazzradio.com. Hey, this is something for you and me. Let me give you a little bit about our lineup. We got some changes. Wait a minute. I got to ask you a question. This moving forward here is on Sunday and
it's
Thursday.
It's not on Sundays anymore. Moving forward is on Tuesdays. I forgot to scratch it.
Tuesday
so don't
Thursday.
Do that. Yeah, Tuesdays
okay.
and Thursdays now. Yeah.
All right. Moving forward, the show with our host, Dwayne Abernathy, has been changed to Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and Thursday from 10 to 12 p.m. Also, Talk to Tana. It's on Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m., hosted by Tana B. Some for you and me to enjoy and learn a little bit about something we don't know too much about. And also, don't forget, the TV lineup, our new episodes for Sunday, The Culture King. That's on the SIB TV channel. And on Wednesday, Tap and Snap on the One God TV channel. And don't forget, on Saturdays, we do Yaza Radio Raw. On the Yaza Radio channel, Raw channel. Also, let's see. That. Hey, you know what? You got to help me out here, Dwayne, because you know what? Right now, we live in a society where safety is important. And not only for our personal safety, but for business. I mean, things, the crime rate is rising at an alarming rate, and we need to be protected. So there's a company I want you to talk a little bit about. It's called Digital Guard. .com. It's a new wave. It's very secure. And tell them a little bit about the company and give them the website number to contact the company.
This is DigitalGuardLive.com. Digital Guard is one of the only security camera companies in the country that's owned by Professional Culture. We have our own line of security cameras, all high-definition cameras, live monitoring cameras. But another thing about Digital Guard too, a security camera is only good if somebody's watching it. And so Digital Guard, we started the company where we provide live camera monitoring. So we have a monitoring station where people are actually looking at the cameras live.
Wow.
So we can prevent crimes before they happen.
But you know what, those, the first invention I've seen the company produce, I thought was wow, was this thing where it took the pictures of the person and then tested their computer when they began the virus. Remember that?
We got those too.
Yeah.
We have those scanners.
Yeah, it takes the picture of the person
yeah.
and checks their temperature.
You remember what brought it down to the post that time?
Right, right. And what made it interesting was not only did you have a digital picture that you can go back and check people coming to your facility, but definitely the way the machine worked and took your picture and took your temperature.
Yeah, for contact tracing, yeah.
So Digital Guard is ahead of the time, but it's something you need to check them out. And for the business, what is the website number?
PreventBusinessCrimes.com. That's PreventBusinessCrimes.com with an S.
And go ahead, personal?
PreventHomeCrimes.com.
There you go.
That's PreventHomeCrimes.com.
There you go. You need to check that out because you know, if you think like I do, it's better to be secure than unsecured, especially in society that we live in now. Well, about that time, I got to run. It's been fun. As I did say, let me tell you once again, I did something that everybody should do. Take the time to have those pop-up vacations, that 24 or 48-hour vacation, because not only will it help secure your successful destiny for that day, but it's like breathing. You know, it's like preparing yourself for your next challenge. And really, excuse me. Think like I think, there's success behind every corner. There's success behind every tree, every bush, every room. The question is, do you have the courage to challenge yourself to go forward and get it? Thank you. It's been fun. I got to run on a Monday. See you Wednesday, talking about controversy with your host, Stephen B. Dean, doing the key of E. Oh, black, beautiful for you and me. Bye, y'all.